WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Alex Degman, and this is The Rundown. A federal judge ruled today that, at least for now, President Donald Trump's administration must keep federal funds flowing to child care subsidies and other social service programs in Illinois and four other Democratic-controlled states. The initial temporary restraining order was set to expire today. The judge said he would decide later whether the money is to remain in place while a challenge to cutting it off works its way through the courts. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services sent the five states notices earlier this month, informing them it would require justifications for spending the money aimed at helping low-income families. The Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights is calling for ICE to end its operations everywhere. My WBEZ colleague Brandon Condritz has more.
Who keeps us safe?
We keep us safe!
That was the message on Chicago's southwest side this morning. Immigrant rights advocates met to stand in solidarity with Minnesota as raids continue in the Minneapolis area and here in Chicago. Marian Castillas-Pavejan is one of those advocates.
Find something better to do. Our lives matter. Everybody's lives matter. We deserve respect. We deserve liberty. And we deserve to exist.
The group's call comes as the U.S. House voted yesterday to fund the Department of Homeland Security through September.
Abolish ICE!
Brandon Condritz, WBEZ News.
The bitterly cold weather has some Chicagoans dreaming of warmth and sunny skies. WBEZ's Summer Van Benton went to the West Loop and asked people, if they could escape the city's low temperatures this weekend, where would they go?
Oh my God, get me to like the desert. Get me to Palm Springs, like somewhere so warm and dry heat. That's what I need.
It's kind of random. Madeira, Portugal. It's an island. It's part of Portugal, but it's an island way south of Portugal, like near the Canary Islands. So I was just reading about that today, so that bit, I put my bid there.
Somewhere warm. So I was just talking about potentially taking a trip to Italy in October. So maybe mentally I'll be there right now.
Somewhere like Hawaii, somewhere a little bit warmer, I'm thinking, but definitely somewhere with a good view.
That was Sarah Peterson, Jeff Kelly, Jessica Wynn, and Aaron Krause. The Chicago shelter Harmony House for Cats is hosting its first Tuxedo Cat Soiree tonight at Burning Bush Brewery in the city's North Center neighborhood. My WBEZ colleague Minju Park reports the soiree's dress code is obviously black and white as a nod to the fancy tuxedo cat, one of the many cat breeds at the shelter. Shelter manager Jennifer Zamrick introduced her to one hiding in a box.
His name is Gorgonzola. He is one of the leaders in this room. Black and white cats, a lot of them are considered tuxedo cats, especially if they have just like the white little triangle at their throat. It's like a little bow tie.
The soiree will feature a DJ, open bar, an auction with proceeds going to the shelter, and adoptable cats in a private lounge. You're listening to The Rundown. Federal authorities slapped all kinds of labels on Chicago's Juan Espinoza Martinez when they arrested him last fall. They called him a high-ranking member of the Latin Kings. They called him depraved and a thug as they accused him of offering $10,000 for the murder of U.S. Border Patrol Commander Gregory Bovino. But yesterday, a federal judge called Espinoza Martinez not guilty. Chicago Sun-Times reporter John Seidel spoke with WBEZ's Lisa Labas to recap one of the most contentious cases tied to Operation Midway Blitz.
All right, so let's start from the beginning. Remind us of how this case was first presented to the public and what Espinoza Martinez was charged with.
Sure. This was presented as a very serious case, as listeners heard. Juan Espinoza Martinez was presented to the public as a ranking member of the Latin Kings. The Homeland Security put out a big press release about how he had put a hit on Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino. They called him a thug, called him depraved. And they really used this to support this claim that's been made repeatedly that street gangs and drug cartels have been putting bounties on the heads of federal officials like Bovino and others. They even presented some background about Juan Espinoza Martinez, talking about how after a shooting by Border Patrol in Brighton Park in early October, he had been dispatching members of the Latin Kings out into the neighborhood as kind of a response.
Okay, so now the government did eventually walk back its accusation that Espinoza Martinez was a member of the Latin Kings, and U.S. District Judge Joan Lefkoe barred gang evidence from the trial. So what did prosecutors have to present in court?
Yeah, in the end, they wound up presenting three witnesses. Two of them were Homeland Security Investigation special agents. But crucially, the main agent was this source of information who had brought them this message from Espinoza Martinez, which basically boiled down to, according to the witness, $2,000 when you get him, meaning Bovino, $10,000 if you take him down. LK on him, supposedly meaning Latin Kings on him. And so that source of information, he had been anonymous, but we learned that his identity was Adrian Jimenez, 44, owner of a construction company who had worked with Espinoza Martinez. And he testified about how once he got that message, he passed it on to Homeland Security almost immediately.
Ah, okay. What were the defense's arguments at this trial?
Well, it was kind of there were a couple aspects to it. I mean, mainly they said that things were moving kind of fast and furious in Little Village back in October at the height of Operation Midway Blitz. And people in the community were sharing information with each other, sharing things that they'd heard because, specifically the Tribune and the Sun-Times, the jury was told, couldn't keep up with everything that was going on. There was so much. And so that's what Juan Espinoza Martinez was doing, that he was just sharing what he had heard. But they also stressed to the jury that the government just failed to meet that burden of proof of proving Espinoza Martinez guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Defense attorney Dina Singer insisted to the jury that they should demand more evidence before convicting somebody of solicitation of murder,
right,
which is what Espinoza Martinez was charged with. Yeah.
Right. And John, you've reported there are 31 known defendants charged with non-immigration crimes tied to Operation Midway Blitz. And now Espinoza Martinez is acquitted and 15 of these people have been cleared. Nobody's been convicted. These are a lot of fizzled prosecutions. What does this tell us about the government's ongoing deportation campaign?
Right. So traditionally, people talk about how federal prosecutors usually have a conviction rate above 90%. And that's certainly been true in Chicago's federal courthouse. Obviously, there's been a different approach to these cases. Now, there are still, roughly 16, I think, that are still pending. So we'll see what happens with those. But even if there are convictions across the board with those, it's still going to be roughly a 50% conviction rate as things stand right now. So U.S. Attorney Andrew Boutros has talked about how cases are always under review even after they've been charged. Just seems like a different approach here than we've seen in the past.
Well, what's next for Espinoza Martinez?
Well, we're not sure because despite his acquittal, there is an immigration detainer that his defense attorneys have acknowledged. And they've even told a judge that it's likely to be acted upon. So we're waiting to see what happens with that and whether he leaves federal custody or is forced to leave the country.
That's Chicago Sun-Times federal court reporter John Seidel. Thanks so much, John.
You bet.
We'll see increasing clouds tonight with an air temperature around 8 below, wind chills to 25 below. Tomorrow calls for a chance of snow late, half an inch or less, with a high near 10, wind chills to 20 below. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Alex Degman. Thanks for listening.